This morning, we're talking about unity in the midst of conflict. And unity in conflict really depends on you. Like you. You get it? Unity in conflict depends on you. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Before we get started, I just want to establish a couple of things this morning. Every once in a while I do this, and I think it's always important to do this. Where God is at work in people, and when I say God, by the way, I just want to be really, really clear. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God whose son is Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. The God who created all things. The God who reigns with authority over all of us. I'm not talking about some made-up idea of who we think God ought to be. I'm talking about the one true God. And when we talk about God in this place, that's who we talk about. And this morning, I want to be clear. In this place, we serve but one God. Not gods that we make for ourselves, not gods that we fashion out of earthly things, not gods that are anchored to finite ideas, but rather the infinite God that spans time, that works beyond and outside of time and space, that has the ability and the power to change hearts, lives, and also transform eternities from death to life. Sometimes it's easier to anchor our hearts and lives to the very gods that we fashion for ourselves because we feel they give us what we want in the moments that we're dealing with things. But the one true God meets us exactly where we are at in the midst of all that's going on, and he never leaves us there. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't run the other direction. We don't fashion idols for ourselves that we worship situationally, but rather we submit and we surrender to our Creator, not created things. We submit and we surrender to our Creator, not created things. So if there's been mix-ups in your personal theologies or you're not sure about what it is that we anchor to here at New Life, I want to tell you firmly and clearly from this space up here this morning that we serve but one true God, his son Jesus, and we are thankful for the power and the work of the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of us, convicts us, directs us, ministers to us, draws us out of sin, shame, and darkness into the light of Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you happen to hear anything else that is taught from this place that isn't anchored to what I just said, this is what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to close your ears, close your eyes, and walk the other direction. Why? Because teaching outside of what the Scriptures says is true will lead you down a road to destruction. It will be so attractive in the short term. And it will feel so good in the moment. And what will happen is you will ultimately idolize these things, but when they can't give you what you need or what you want, and you realize that they lead you down a road of destruction, you will demonize these things. And your heart will be broken, and your spirit will be filled with sorrow. My encouragement to you this morning, church, especially the ones who were baptized last week, who are on this new road of learning who Jesus is, I encourage you, don't be distracted with attractive teachings that tickle your ears and give you what you feel you want in the moment. I encourage you to establish the truth of the gospel in your hearts by the reading of the word and the testimony of the saints. Don't be led astray by a whole bunch of mixed up, jumbled things that seem to be getting your attention in the moment. I encourage you, get your Bibles, anchor to the truth that is in the gospel, and hold fast to that. Other stuff will come and go, but our God, the one who created us, the one who has been here before time itself, will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. I want you to be anchored in that. In moments, it will be uncomfortable. In moments, parts of who you are will pass away. And you might think, well, that's not particularly loving. But sometimes if slivers aren't removed or infection isn't dealt with, the process of dealing with it can be painful. But if it's not dealt with, it will kill you. I encourage you this morning to allow God to search your hearts and to know you. He's going to bring up things and touch on things that might be challenging to process in the moment. You might have thought for a long time that you've believed the right thing. But I encourage you, anchor what you know to the truth of the gospel. Let the word of God permeate your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Make it difficult for Satan to trip you up. And the way that you make it difficult for Satan to trip you up is you know that you know that you know what the truth is. If you're unsure what the truth is, get into your Bibles and begin reading it. It will chafe you. It will burden you. Sometimes it will hurt you. But when I say that, I mean that it does those things to your flesh, the very thing that will pass away, that will turn to dust, that is not infinite. What it will do is it will bring life to your soul, the very thing that is infinite, the very thing that is eternal, the very thing that will be with the Lord one day. It is far better to deal with and process those things on this side of the grave and wrestle through what that means on this side of the grave than it is to be caught off guard or surprised on the other. I'm not intending to be heavy this morning, but what I believe is that we are in interesting times. The world is changing faster and faster, and moment by moment, day by day. And so often we can be distracted or we can become disillusioned. And both of those things will draw our eyes and our hearts and our minds off the truth of who the Lord is. We don't want to be comfortable, yet we live in a world that constantly preaches to us the joys of comfort all the time. We don't want to take the hard road because we're told all the time that we deserve something easy. We don't want to wait through the process of what it is to be refined and have our hearts dealt with because we want to put it in the microwave, hit the popcorn button, and have it done in 3 minutes and 28 seconds. But the truth is, the God that I know, the one who created us, isn't particularly interested in our time frames of immediacy. What he is interested in is dealing with our hearts and our minds and restoring them. And that process sometimes is laborious. Sometimes it means things have to be removed. Sometimes it means that things have to change. And I think so often what we want is we want the dessert of the faith. We want the dessert of the faith. We want all the good things. We think it's good. And you know how it is when you got kids? They always think the dessert is the good spot. It's the special part. Our daughter Talia, she's not little anymore. Where is she? Are you here, Talia? Oh, yeah. Okay. So when you're a pastor's kid, your name gets brought up in messages sometimes. So Talia, when she was little, it'd be time to eat dinner. You know, there'd be the good stuff in there, like steamed broccoli and potatoes and stuffing, right, Maria? The best stuffing in the world. If you know, you know. If you don't, just tell her she makes good stuffing, okay? This weekend, she made the best stuffing that I've ever had, so this is good. 20 years in, you're amazing. You're just the best. You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. I love you. You're the best. You're the best. What else is in there? You know, you got your chicken, right? And you got your rice and all the good stuff that's in the main course, right? And when you're a kid, don't you just love chicken? don't you just love broccoli without cheese sauce on it? Mmm, man, that's good stuff. Brussels sprouts. Let me tell you what. Those succulent little green cabbage morsels. Man, isn't that what we all dream of when we go to sleep at night? Forget the ice cream truck. I want the Brussels sprout truck. I don't even know what kind of music it would be. Probably weird German music. And the kids would run out of their homes, abandoning their ice cream and their treats for the flavor of Brussels sprouts. So when you have kids, you realize that they don't always like the main course. And Talia did a good job. She ate her food, but not always all of it. And we said, Talia, if you don't finish your food, your main course, you're not going to have room for dessert. But she figured something out. She figured that she could let us know that she has saved a cookie spot. And Talia always has a cookie spot. It doesn't matter how full she is from dinner, there is a cookie spot. And we all love that cookie spot, that spot that we have reserved for all the treats and the excitement and the dessert. But the problem that arises if we only have a cookie spot and we don't have the main course, we feel as children, out of immaturity and a lack of knowing, we feel that it's all we ever want and all we ever need. There's a Backstreet Boys song about that. Or is it NSYNC? I don't know. You're all I ever wanted. Doesn't matter. What matters is this. It's too often we get overly attracted to the dessert of the faith and we neglect the very important main course that we need for sustenance. And there's a lot of teaching that goes on in our world that has a hint of truth mixed in with it. And boy, oh boy, does it sound good, because when we attach to those things, it means we don't have to give up all the other stuff. We can have a little bit of God in our life and also continue using drugs. We can have a little bit of God in our life and continue cheating on our spouse. We can have a little bit of God in our life. We can have a little bit of God in our life, but also continue submitting and surrendering our hearts and our souls to a whole bunch of different people. We can have a little bit of God in our life, but pray and sacrifice to nature. We can have a little bit of God in our life, but also embrace and adopt other practices, mysticism, sorcery, witchcraft, Satanism. You can go down the list. But when it comes to God, he is jealous, and that's not jealous in the sense of a weird, angry boyfriend jealous. He's jealous for our hearts. He knows what is best for us, that will cause us to grow well, that will bring life to us, that ultimately will cause us to be strong and nurtured and healthy and whole. And he sees us and he looks upon us and he loves us so richly and so deeply. And his heart breaks when we constantly chase after the very things that will ultimately bring us death. Out of naivety, we could think that God is just this mean guy and he doesn't want us to have fun. That is a lie. God loves us and he created us to have a blast, to enjoy life, to be full of life. In fact, he gives us his Holy Spirit, and some of the fruits of those Spirit are things like love and joy and peace and kind. These are great things that are actually gifts from God, and we get to experience the fullness of these things because of what he has done, not what we can manufacture. But when we chase after the very things that are just dessert in the faith all the time, or the things that we feel are going to be the best for us in the moment without actually submitting or surrendering to the one who knows best, we will lead ourselves down a road of destruction so quickly, and it will come so swiftly, and the outcomes will be so terrible. So just like Talia loves to save room for her cookie spot, the cookie spot is a good spot. We all love the cookie spot. But as her loving parents, there is the encouragement to also eat well. Eat well of the good things. Eat well of the right things. So that when you're under stress and you're under strain and you're experiencing the challenges, you've got something in your system that will last, not something that will disappear so quickly. Our faith isn't one that's based on the sugar high of faith. Our faith is a marathon faith that isn't just a sprint. Our faith is a long obedience in one direction that is anchored to one goal, and we move towards that goal with common focus and common purpose and common direction. There is order in it, not disorder. There is truth in it, not lies, mistruths, or distractions. There is hope in it that is beyond all hope. There is joy in it, even in the midst of the pain and the hardship and the struggle and the difficulty. And it will never leave us lacking or wanting for more. It will be the truth of God established in our hearts. And that is the call to faith that is upon each of our lives. And that work is established and completed by Jesus on the cross for you today. So if you've been around and you're unsure of where we stand on certain things, you've come through our Christianity 101, but there's still ambiguity, I will tell you the basic tenets of it. There is but one God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is but one way to him, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that he has accomplished upon that cross. And there is but one Holy Spirit that ministers to us and works in our hearts, who has given us the ability to test the spirits, because there are different spirits at work that can distract us, steal from us, kill us, or destroy us. And we use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to discern what is from God and what is not from God. And our benevolent and loving and wonderful Creator has established these things in place so that we will not be easily led astray. My heart and passion for you, church, is to not be easily led astray. Make it tough for Satan to lead you astray. And the best way to do that is to anchor your faith to the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Never trust anything that comes out of my mouth. Never trust anything that comes out of the mouth of Pastor Maria or Pastor Ben or Pastor Kristen or Graham or Tanisha or Laurel or the board or anybody else. When it comes to teaching on the Word of God, don't trust us. Take it in and know for yourself beyond a shadow of a doubt what is written in God's Word. You need to be not just consumers of God's word. You need to allow God's word to be established in your heart, to be your only point of reference and direction when it comes to your faith. This is so important and so crucial. Not some weird book that some person wrote 15 years ago. Not some established theology or ideas that have come from maybe 100 years or so of teaching. Anything young, run away from it. It's a little bit iffy. Anchor to the Word of God and invite the Holy Spirit in to give you understanding and wisdom, and he will grant those things. It says in the book of James that if any of you lacks wisdom, to ask God for it. And whether you know who God is or you don't, and whether you have been baptized or not, or whether you have a long-standing faith tradition or you don't, it says that if you ask God for his wisdom, he will grant it to you unabridedly without finding fault. When I think about unabridedly, I think about wild horses running through a field. And I say, God, I need your wisdom. And then I just get pummeled by wild horses running through a field unabridedly. No holding back. God will grant his wisdom to you no matter where you are at in life. But he does so that you can have life in abundance. You can know God simply by saying, God, I need you. I need your help. Give me your wisdom. And what's amazing is no matter where you're at in life, no matter what has gone on, his wisdom will come into your life. And then there's a call to act upon that wisdom. And it says in his word that if you don't act upon that which he's now given you, you're just like a wave that gets tossed around in the ocean. You don't know what's going on. But when you ask God for his wisdom, a promise of his word is that he will give you his wisdom and then you get to act upon it. And what's really cool is your life will transform as he ministers to you. The other thing that God gives us is discernment, to know what is actually from him and what is not from him. It says in the word that Satan clothes himself as an angel of light. Very attractive, looks really good. Everything is there to draw you to him. If Satan was this little red creature with horns, it'd be very easy to avoid him, wouldn't it? It'd be like how I avoid chihuahuas. Sorry, Christy. Where's Christy? I love chihuahuas, Christy. Where is he? Little Gus, he's my favorite. The only favorite chihuahua. That's because he's a good boy. He's a good boy. But Satan's this beautiful, majestic golden retriever. Ben. Looks really good, right? Super dumb, but looks really good. But also conniving, sneaky and smart. I don't mean to play down the realities of the work of the enemy, but I think sometimes it's important to apply some brevity to a challenging topic or a situation. The reality is that Satan will absolutely draw you to himself, and everything that he does is sneaky, tactical, smart, and designed to make sure that you do not have a right relationship with God. That is a fact. It's true. Sneaky, smart, conniving. I think back in the day, everybody used to, you know, preach about the idea that Satan's just this dumb guy sneaking around, trying to cause you problems, sitting up on your shoulder while the angel's on the other side whispering into your ear. I propose to you that Satan is more tactical than we could possibly normally give him credit for. And he will use every weakness that exists within you and every distraction that you have a proclivity for to draw your eyes away from the truth that is established in the Word of God and keep your eyes focused on things that will give you death. But in the short term, you will believe that they will give you life and life in abundance. That is why we are called to test the spirits, to test them, to know what is from the Lord and know what is not from the Lord. There is a lot of stuff that has gone on in Christendom that is not from the Lord, unfortunately. And I think well-meaning believers who aren't established in God's word, who aren't given the gift of discernment, can be led astray. And the heart of our Father who created us is not to have us be people who are led astray and easily distracted. Like I said earlier, make it hard, make it tough for Satan to draw you away. Make it tough for him to distract you. None of this is what I was preaching on this morning. 4 pages of notes that I probably won't even touch. I think another thing that's important to be aware of is that when hearts and lives begin to be transformed by the work of the living God, our common enemy, who is Satan, becomes very mad because he is losing ground. His desire, his modus operandi, the way that he works, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his job. That is his number one method. And he usually does it very sneakily and skillfully, to steal and to kill and to destroy. Sometimes that is a physical life. Often, more often, it is spiritual. And it happens in ways that we aren't always readily able to see with our own two eyes. It can happen through thoughts that come into our minds. It can happen through how we process our emotions, our feelings, or our offenses. And it can stir things up in us that are far from the Lord, but we will be deceived by our own thoughts of what righteousness is when we lose sight of who the righteous one really is. And Satan gets upset and mad when he sees people who were previously going down a road to an eternity of separation from God, who then say, no, not today, Satan, and they make the decision to surrender their lives to Christ. Last week, a whole bunch of you got baptized. Some of you aren't here this morning. And not only did a bunch of you get baptized last week, a bunch of you made commitments for the first time in your life to say yes to Jesus and no to the things of this world. And some of you have been attending for a long time who may have called yourself Christian by name for many years, also made the decision maybe for the first time in your lives to say yes to Jesus and no to the things of this world. And when ground is taken, the offensive attacks begin to occur. And what I always tell people when they start going down this road of saying yes to Jesus or when they become baptized, they can expect that they may experience some challenges in the next little while. And this isn't a warning to say, hey, look out, your life's going to be terrible. This is a warning to say, hey, look up and keep your eyes set upon Jesus. And there is nothing that the enemy, our common enemy, wants more than to steal people away, to take back ground, and to try to establish his ideas and thoughts. But the truth is this, what we celebrated this morning, and we remember this morning, is the fact that Christ established his kingdom here on earth. He died, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, promising to return, which he will return one day. And interestingly enough, in God's kingdom, while Jesus is away preparing a place for us, other kings have tried to pop to the surface to try to take terrain or try to hold space. And the reality is that the one true king, our king, Jesus Christ, is returning in glory. And with that, the kings of this world will be faced with the reality that the ultimate king will deal with them appropriately. It's like this thought of being drunk off power. When we've gone unchecked for too long, what can happen is we think we deserve something that we absolutely do not, or we take ownership over something that is not ours to own. We do that on a large scale, but sometimes that happens in our personal lives and in our hearts and in our minds. We forget what it is to submit and surrender moment by moment and day by day to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What ends up happening is we submit and we surrender moment by moment and day by day to the kings of this world. And I want to ask you this morning, church, who is the king of your heart? Who is the king of your soul? Have you propped up a pseudo king for yourself that is a god that you have created and erected? Or are you surrendering wholly and completely to the God who created all things, who holds time itself in his hand, who will return with glory and wrath, love and vengeance? In order to have this truth established well in our hearts and to anchor to the truth of the Lord that comes from the gospel, the reality is that we need to walk in that truth, surrender to that truth, not a truth or an objective truth, but the proper truth, the truth of God. And we need to know what that is and be anchored to it. And normally the place where Satan likes to go to try to distract and steal and destroy is he likes to go to people who are in leadership or who are in positions of authority that God has put there, tries to draw them down, tries to ruin them, tries to break them so that they are no longer effective for what it is that God has established them to be in. You know what's quite interesting, and this is challenging, I think, for some of us to get behind, but it's in the Bible and we need to wrestle with it, is that we are actually called to surrender to the authorities that are above us. And I know that's challenging sometimes, especially when it comes to political environments or we're working in a job that's difficult for us. But it says that nobody that's in authority is there unless the Lord has already allowed them to be. And that's challenging. I know that that's challenging. I'm not saying I always like everybody who's in authority, but I have to wrestle with this scripture. We're called to pray for those that are above us. We're called to submit to them. And that's hard. But the gospel that we walk in is a gospel of peace. And as Christians, we are actually called to walk in humility in the world around us. And so much as it depends upon us, we're actually called to live peaceably with those around us. And there are leaders that are God-fearing, and there are leaders that have nothing to do with him. But the leaders that are God-fearing so often become targets of the enemy, where he wants to take them and break them and render them useless, or cause them to compromise their faith, or cause them to compromise upon the truth. And those leaders may be business people. They may be political folks. They may be business owners. They may be teachers. They may be police or judges or CEOs, ministry leaders. When we realize that the enemy is getting ready to try to take back ground that God has taken, we need to be on guard and we need to be praying for those that are in authority over us, that God has allowed to be there. We need to pray for the unity that comes from the Holy Spirit to be upon their lives. And we need to pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit to be upon them and that the angels of the Lord watch over and protect them. Here in this place, as the church has grown and changed over time, it's been interesting to watch different community leaders come through this place. It's been interesting to watch different business owners come through this place, people who are very influential in this community. And I'm not saying everybody isn't influential in the community, but there are some folks here that really are, either in public or behind the scenes. And you're wrestling and you're processing and you're figuring out, but the people that you lead, the people that you have been given charge over, whether you like it or not, or whether you see it this way or not, you have an opportunity for those people to be, in some sense, a type of congregation that you care for and minister to, pour into and uplift and encourage. Some of you here represent a large amount of employees, a large amount of community workers, folks that you interact with and work with on a daily basis. They make up a tremendous amount of the population of our small city. And there is nothing that Satan wants more than to keep you silent about your faith, to sting you when you try to step out, to lie to you when you want to walk in the truth. And he will go out of his way to try to cause you to compromise on your morals, to try to cause you to compromise on who God is and try to cause you to compromise on the standards that have been established in your heart. As I was kind of getting ready for this morning, my notes are quickly going by the wayside. I think our direction is taking a bit of a different move than what it was I was intending to come in here with. We were going to be talking about conflict and unity in the midst of the conflict. And maybe I'll give you three sentences at the end about it. But church, I think there is an importance here to be ready, to have the armor of God on, and to have our eyes wide open with any sneak attacks that Satan is trying to bring towards the church as God begins healing and restoring souls that have been lost, broken, and in pain for a long time. So this morning, this might seem a little strange. I don't want you to be scared or ashamed. I want you to be bold today. And I'm going to make a call out to some people here, not by name. But if you are a leader in the community in some capacity, I'm talking about broader community of our city. If you are a leader in our community, whether you are in a political office, whether you are in business as a business owner, whether you're a teacher, a police member, a judge, a CEO of a company, a ministry worker or a social worker, or a candidate stepping into a role, I would ask you to stand this morning. If you are a leader, a candidate, a business person, if I call that out and that's you, please stand up, a business owner, a teacher, a police officer or RCMP member, a judge, a CEO, someone who works in the ministry or a social worker who oversees families and groups of people. If you're in that category of individuals, I ask that you stand. And don't be ashamed of that. This isn't to put a spotlight on you or to call you out at all. Okay? This isn't to put a spotlight on you or call you out at all. This is to pray for you. Each person that has stood up this morning, each one of you are representing people far beyond just yourself or your family. Some of you, it is a couple people. Some of you, it's dozens. Some of you, potentially hundreds. And what Satan loves to do is Satan loves to attack you very personally and very intimately in extremely specific ways to try to cripple you so that you no longer have a voice to walk in the truth, to teach the truth, to walk in love and compassion and care for the people that you are given command or authority over, and to cause you to be ineffective in the mission that's before you. But today, we are not going to let our common enemy get a foothold in our lives. As the church, our job, as it says in the scriptures, is to pray for those that are placed in authority over us, to pray for those that have been given command over us, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our politicians, to pray for our bosses, to pray for our masters, to pray for the ones that go before us. We're actually called to do these things. It says in Romans 12, chapter 12, 9 to 21, it says, the marks of a true Christian are this: let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and hold strong to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor to each other. Do not be slothful or lazy in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in struggles and afflictions. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but rather associate with the lowly. Don't be wise in your own sight. Do not repay evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all around you. Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not overcome evil by doing evil, but rather overcome evil with good. We are called to live differently. We are called to rule differently. We are called to do business differently. We are called to lead differently. Not by the standards of what the world says is normal and okay. That brings death and destruction. We are called to walk in the standards of God and to not give room for the enemy to sneak in and cause trouble. So those of you that are standing, the people around you, I would ask that you also stand and put a hand outstretched to them or on their shoulder. Worship team, can I ask you to come up, please? You know, when you're dealing with war, we think it's exciting when all the booms and the bangs start happening, when there's a giant show of force occurring. It's attractive, it gets our attention, it makes us really feel like something's going on. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to warfare, the subtle art of simply taking ground does more than you could ever imagine. Sneaking into places that have been previously closed off is powerful. Taking back ground that the enemy has taken is powerful. Going in and seeing prisoners and captives set free is powerful. It doesn't have to come from a gigantic show of force, but what it does come from is the unity of the group moving forward together and being a force to be reckoned with. What we know from the Word of God is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. There is a war that we can't see going on around us all the time. It is a war in our hearts. It is a war in our minds. It's a war in our spirits. There will be distractions that try to keep our eyes off the prize. There will be things that hurt us or break us, trying to ruin us. Things will arise that try to drive us a direction far from the truth of God. But my call to you this morning, church, is to stand firm and stand united as we face our one common enemy together and take back ground that he's tried to steal. From this place, we will not allow the gates of hell to prevail against the church of the Lord. We will not let the tricks and schemes and snares of the enemy try to establish themselves here or in the lives of the leaders amongst us. And so as business owners, CEOs, leaders, directors, ministry workers, teachers, as you are all standing together this morning, hands outstretched towards you and on your shoulders, we want to pray for you today. You are the leaders in our community that are at the forefront of what goes on in the business world, in the legal world, in our schools, in our mental health systems. God has given you charge over a great number of people. There are likely hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people represented by the few of you that are standing this morning. And we want to pray this morning that God's power not only be poured out upon your lives and your marriages and your circumstances, but also that his power be poured out upon your positions that God has allowed you to be in, so that you can not only just lead well, but lead effectively in the areas that he has placed you in, so that you can be a force to be reckoned with for the sake of the gospel in our community, so you can pray for your employees and the people that are under you, so that you can minister to them and care for them, support them, uphold them, and uplift them, so that your actions will speak to the character of God in their lives and their hearts will be changed and transformed. It's one thing to stand here on a Sunday and speak to a couple hundred people. It's another thing completely when leaders in this community are able to go out into their workplaces and see lives transformed en masse. This is cute, but there's more to come. This is nice, but there is ground to be taken. This feels okay, but God has a plan for our community far beyond what we could even imagine is possible. And not just Castlegar, but surrounding area and abroad. And I believe that. And it starts with the leaders being prayed for, ministered to, upheld, and commissioned to go out. So with your arms outstretched, your hands on the shoulders of those around you, you know who they are. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you this morning our business owners, our CEOs, our leaders, the folks that are involved in law enforcement, the teachers, the judges, the CEOs, the ministry workers, the social workers, the mental health professionals, the nurses, the doctors. We lift up each one of these individuals to you, Lord God. And we ask, first of all, Lord, that you protect them by the power of your Holy Spirit, and you keep your angels to watch over and guard them day and night against any attack of the enemy. Help their eyes to be open to the spiritual realm of what is actually going on. Not just distractions that come up during the course of a day that set them sideways for a whole week. Let them know what's actually going on and show them how to pray and surrender these things to you and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Not to be easily distracted or tossed back and forth as challenges come and go, but rather focused with laser precision on the work that's in front of them. Not easily distracted and not easily led astray by any work of the enemy. Let these men and women have bold voices to declare the truth of what you've done in their lives to the people that are around them. Not just in word, but by action, practically putting on display the testimony of a changed life. Father, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that are represented here this morning by these individuals. God, I ask that you raise each of these individuals up to be godly men and women, godly leaders in the positions you have put them in. Heal their hurts. Fix their eyes upon you. Remove their distractions. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them that in every circumstance the fruit of the Spirit is present, of love and of joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And God, if they have gone through or are going through seasons of suffering right now that seem that they will never end, I ask, Lord God, that you give them a glimpse of hope that is anchored to you. If they are in a dry place in their business as far as resource is concerned, I ask, Lord God, that you pour out your resources of heaven upon them right now, not to be used for their own personal gain, but rather for the kingdom to be established and move forward in our area. Lord, where they've been afraid and that fear isn't just a healthy caution, but rather crippling in their lives, give them your boldness, Lord. Where they think, oh, I could never talk to my staff about that. I could never talk to this family about that. I could never approach this person about that. It's going to get me fired. It's going to get them to look at me weird. They're going to think I'm strange. Father, give them your boldness in your right time. To begin harvesting the things that are already growing. Father, I also ask that you give them vision for beyond what is immediately in front of them. Sometimes we get so focused on the very things that are in front of us, in a good sense, we can become distracted from the very things that are around us that we also need to look around at. Lord, set their eyes on greater things beyond just what is in front of them at the moment. Speak to them in vision and dream in such ways that are so specific to them, it catches them off guard, thinking there's no way that I should be thinking like that. There's no way I should dream something like that. That must be from you, Lord. And in that, let them test the spirits to know what is from you and not from you. Let them seek wise counsel and guidance as they move forward. Father, I ask that from this place, as these leaders are ministered to and cared for, that they're not only raised up in the faith, but they're also released out into our community as we see our community change and transform. And collectively, Satan, we want to put you on notice this morning. We are standing against you in holy obstinance against any trick or snare or scheme or attack that you may have tried to lay out. You may catch us every once in a while in areas that we are unaware, but we will endeavor to be aware of how you work and how you operate, and we will not go down easily. We will stand strong by the power of God working in our lives. We will walk in the truth and the authority of the risen Savior, our Lord Jesus. We will walk into ground and into areas that you have tried to make us think are closed, where doors have been previously shuttered. We will do so in the name of Jesus, walking forward with the authority of our risen Savior. Satan, you have no business trying to take the things that God has already established as his. You have no business trying to steal or kill or destroy. In the name of Jesus, we declare life and hope into these leaders' lives. We declare life and hope in the name of Jesus into their marriages. We declare life and hope into their homes where there's been pain and brokenness. We declare life and hope into their businesses that have been struggling and challenged. We declare life and hope into the areas that they thought had been lost and gone forever. Lord, let them dream dreams again that they have put away because they've hurt too much to think about what it would look like. Reignite a fire in them, Lord God, that burns in their belly to go out and walk in places that have been previously closed off. Pour out upon them the power of your Holy Spirit and establish the truth of the Word of God in their hearts and in their minds. Resource them, Lord, from your kingdom resources, not from the things of this world, but resource them from your kingdom resources, Lord God, to do the business that's in front of them. And Father, where there has been offense amongst leaders, we ask for healing and restoration right now. Where there's been a pitting against one another, we ask that those things be dropped now in the name of Jesus, so that there is unity as the believers walk forward. We ask that you clothe them in your spiritual armor to stave off any attack of the enemy. And Father, we ask that you also, in your time, grant them increased influence in our community to share the gospel and see hearts and lives changed by the work of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We praise you for your might. The leaders who have stood up, I call you this morning to not be afraid. I call you this morning to not be silenced. I call you this morning to walk boldly. I call you this morning to model repentance. I call you this morning to allow the peace of God into your life and into your circumstances. I call you this morning to look at your homes and your marriages and rededicate those things to Jesus. I call you this morning to look at your businesses and the things that you have been given charge over and rededicate those things to Jesus. Give them to Him and watch what He does with them. Where your hearts have been broken and your minds have been hurt and your souls have been crushed, call out to the Lord. He will establish His truth in your heart. He will restore you and He will make your path straight. For the rest of us today, as we bring things to a close this morning, I implore you this morning to allow God to check your heart and to minister to your hearts. Where you know you've been attaching your lives to teaching that isn't from the gospel, run away from that stuff. It will not give you life. I encourage you this morning, so much as it depends upon you, to live peaceably with those around you. Allow the love of God not only to be established in your heart, but to work in your heart and work through your heart and work through your mind by way of His Holy Spirit. I encourage you as Christians to dig into the Word of God, to know what the truth of the gospel is. And as I said earlier, make it wildly difficult for Satan to get a hold of you. Let's close in prayer this morning and we'll close in worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the equipping and the releasing of these leaders here. And Father, we ask again that you cover them with your protection, especially this week. Keep them very aware of any sneak attacks that are going on. When something's going sideways, let them stop and look to you before reacting. To remember what we talked about today. You know, I feel really impressed to also say this. Some of you this morning have been crippled by fear of the reality of what Satan has done in your life or what he's doing in your circumstances, and I need you to know this morning, as much as you know, as up is up and down is down. Satan is a scarecrow. He is filled with straw. Yes, he's smart, and yes, he's intelligent, but he only has the power that you allow him to have over your life. You have been given all authority in heaven and earth that comes from God Himself to take stand against the enemy and his tricks and schemes. And that scarecrow is trying to protect the very ground that you are called to walk into. And he has chased you away as you've looked at him over and over again. But I'll tell you what, he is full of straw and he can't move. And you need to look at him for the reality of who he is, and you say, get away from me now in the name of Jesus. You have no power over me. You have no authority over my situation. I am bought and paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you will not stand in the way of what God has asked me to do. Do not be weak. Do not go quietly. You are given boldness that comes by God Himself. It is for you. He has granted it to you through His Son Jesus. So walk in that. Stand in that. If there are hurdles that are going on in your life and in your marriage right now, you look at those things right now and you say, not today, Satan. Get behind me. You have no business trying to steal, kill, or destroy. You have no business here. You will not overcome. Christ is the one who has overcome. And you put him back exactly where he needs to be. And you put him in his place. You are not a weak people. The truth of God is that the kingdom of hell will not prevail against his church. And you are his church. You are his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. So stand firm in that this morning. Anchor to that this morning. Know the truth of the gospel this morning. Don't chase after fleeting, weird teachings, but anchor to the truth of the Bible and have that established in your heart. God, we thank you for this morning. Bless your church, Lord God. In your holy name we pray. Amen.